Okay, at this time, we're going to go ahead and call this regular scheduled August 9 Westminster City Council meeting to order. We appreciate everybody attending. We have some different guests with us tonight. We'll introduce them here in a few minutes. But at this time, please join us for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Audrey Reese.
Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day, for the opportunity to come together in service for our city. Bless our time together, God. Direct our hearts and our minds and our wills to you so that we lean not just on our own wisdom and knowledge, but on the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes from you. May our conversations be civil and peaceful, and may we leave loving one another just as much as we do right now. In your holy name we pray. Let all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
Let's turn and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Certify quorum, please.
I serve for our
form. If you would, everybody make sure your telephones are turned off. And we're going to try to, we got a lot to go over tonight because we skipped the July meeting, so we're going to try to move quickly. We're not going to be rude, we're just going to try to move quickly. So that's all we're going to do. Anybody for public comments?
No, sir.
No public comments. At this time, we want to ask, we want to introduce Lee Baker. City Utility Director, he's got a couple of supervisors he wants to introduce to the council and the public.
Yeah, so since we have a newer council, we have a couple of new supervisors. Terry Reed, he's our water and sewer supervisor. He came on board February 1st, I believe it is. And so he's doing a great job learning our system. It's not an easy system to learn. a lot of struggles in that with the old maps, old systems. So he's in and hiring people and getting people to stay on board. So he's dealing with that for us. Been a great contributor to the new water pumps to talk about later out there, and driving the water and sewer business for us. So I just want to make sure everyone knew who it was, especially on council when we talk about doing something. He's your man for water and sewer. So that's Terry. So appreciate you. I got Kevin Hartman. Kevin came on as an employee with the water and sewer. Probably hired one or the other, but when you do that, you do both. He's still doing it for us. Don't get me wrong. He has that background, taking some courses to help for his licensing for the water. He is now our public works and solid waste supervisor. So he's the one doing all your stage work, Apple Festival, all that kind of stuff like that. He's doing that, not counting everything else he's involved in. Made a big difference. Really appreciate all he's done. Also the one that got the park turned around with the water issue out there. And we're also involved, we're collecting. We're starting to get in some stuff at the park right now. Our warehouse, we're still missing three things or so, maybe four. But they're starting to drip in there little by little. When we get that here, we'll have that, for lack of better terms, the gazebo is on top. We plan on putting in some nice structures for little kids to play where the parents can see their kids instead of being way down below. Dave, thanks for all your effort on that. If you haven't seen it, there's a nice mural being painted down there. Pretty bright. I saw it today being worked on. It's not quite finished yet, but it looks a lot better than it did 6 months ago if you haven't been out there. And that drainage ditch has made a great difference because the grass is coming back down a lot of places. We got the water off and running that. So anything to do with public works, Kevin Hartman, promoted supervisor
July.
Yeah. First part of July. He's doing an interim, but we've made him permanent now, so he's the guy.
Thank you. Thanks, Lee. All right, next we're going to have a presentation by Mr. Chris Eliezer of the Oconee Joint Regional Sewer Authority. He's the executive director. I'm going to let you have the floor now.
Thank you. Is there any place you wish for me to go in particular?
Just stand up right there where we can see you. That's
all right. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor, Council, Mr. Bronson, and Mr. Holliday. As Mayor Ramey said, I'm Chris Eliezer. I'm the Executive Director of the Oconee Joint Regional Sewer Authority, and probably you've heard by now that we had approached Bonnie Ammons, who's the Executive Director of the South Carolina Rural Infrastructure Authority, that was in early June, I believe. Mayor Ramey was with us wearing two hats, both as a representative with the city, as well as he was our board chair at the time too, so he was a representative with the sewer authority. along with a representative from each of the other two member cities, one from Wahala, one from Seneca, went to Columbia and spoke with them about that. Now, while we were there, Ms. Ammons was there, as well as Senator Thomas Alexander. And while we were sitting in the room, they both presented to us an opportunity that my commissioners, your mayor, everybody in the room felt was certainly an opportunity worth looking into, to the point where, you know, it was strongly encouraged, in quotation marks, if you will, for us to really consider moving forward with doing this study. So what the matter is called essentially a regionalization planning study. And it looks, as you're aware, you see and hear a lot about what's going on. We're in the paper and in the media regularly about just issues, different issues we have, different ways that, you know, we approach things, different ways that each of the member cities approach things. And I think from the state level, they're trying to look at ways to identify where, you know, if we can, how can we make improvements to our organization to best serve the community at large. So it was presented to us to consider applying for this grant. It's a match-free grant up to $100,000 would be provided by the state for us and the member cities, as well as some of the other governing bodies that would participate to partake in this endeavor. So we have presented this to the board. The board voted, I believe it was a unanimous vote at the June meeting for us to apply for this grant. So at that time, it was beginning to work on trying to get the cities and the county as well, and the town of West Union to buy in and be a supporting body with this as well. So that's why I'm here today, is to ask for Westminster to support this endeavor, both from your position as a municipality inside Oconee County within the service territory that we provide service to from the treatment standpoint, as well as with your representation with Mayor Ramey and Mr. Baker that serve on my board to pursue this. Now, we're going to be applying no matter what, but we're looking for the support from the city as well, because I think that that would go a long way from what I understand that they were presented to us at looking at a regional solution to the matters that we have. So some of the items that would be taken on as part of the study would be to look at the governance structure, and it would be, I believe Mr. Bronson was sent a memo. And
they have your memo in their package.
Okay, so you may have scanned over that already. So you've seen that they would look at the governance options that we would have available to us, anything from basically staying where we are now to, you know, for whatever reason, somebody's latched on in the media with us going back to the county. But I think that those are the two extreme options that they presented out there to us, and anything in between. And the thing is with this is whatever the recommendations are, nobody has to take them. It was encouraged that we would follow whatever the recommendation is, and it was even so much said that there could possibly be opportunities for additional money to make improvements, with no promises for that, but that there may be opportunities for that to happen. It would also evaluate the financial situations of all the participating parties and would hopefully create a roadmap for us to move forward collectively with everybody on the same page and marching to the same beat to provide the best service that we can for the entire area. So I have received a letter of support, which is the first step that I need in submitting my application to this, because we will be the ones that will be applying for the grant. I've received letters of support already from the city of Wahala, as well as Oconee County and the town of West Union. So what we're looking for is to hopefully gain the support of Westminster as well tonight, and I believe Seneca, if I'm not mistaken, they're taking this up as well tonight, but they've already spoken favorably of it as well. So with that said, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have about what we're seeking from the city this evening, which is nothing but the support.
Yeah, Mayor, if I may, real quick, I gave each of you a copy of a letter of support that I wrote. I used the language from Chris's memo to you as backup for the support that you would give. We didn't have this in time for you to have an action item in terms of a resolution or anything for you to act on, but if you are as a council or agreeable to direct me to give Chris that letter, then I can give him that letter and that can go in his application packet. And what the letter states is that the city council supports his effort, the OJRSA's effort to apply for this regional planning grant. There is no financial commitment on our part as a city individually, although if there is any additional cost above the $100,000, the sewer authority would have to contemplate how they would pay for it, but we aren't on the hook for any of that as an individual city. I think for what it's worth to you, I think this is a great opportunity to evaluate what the options may be. Based off of the same information that Chris just gave you, I think it will be viewed favorably if each of the participating cities are agreeable to go after the regional study. I think that the sewer authority will get it. I think the folks at the state are looking to provide that level of analysis to the sewer authority, given kind of the trials and tribulations it's been going through the last couple of years. I'm happy to take back that draft letter that I gave you. Happy to modify it if you'd like. You aren't asked to make any decision tonight other than just generally have a discussion and let me know if you're good with me giving him that letter. And there's, again, no, you're not being asked to take an action, so.
Well, without taking action, you have my blessing. So.
And if I may, I guess I left off some pretty important details if you got one second to spare me. So this decision, the participation of this is not going to be, and the decision, the recommendation isn't going to be made in a vacuum. So it's not going to be only what's in the best interest of the sewer authority. So if we are awarded the grant, it would be, you know, my hope is that I would have representation from each of the cities that are on my board, at least, to help to put together the solicitation that we have, because we have to competitively advertise for this project and select through general state procurement methods. So there'll be a request for qualifications that would be issued that would be hopefully an agreed upon matter between the cities as well as us, and that the city would be actively participating in this to the level that it would happen, whether it's at a large joint meeting or individual meetings with each of the participating cities and us. I don't know what that would be, but I think we could write that into however we want that to be when the time comes. So it's your voices will be heard. We want your voices to be heard very well. It could be that the recommendation is to do something that eliminates my position. And if it's in that, if that's in the best interest for the area, I'm okay with that, because, you know, as Mr. Bronson alluded to, and you probably hear from Mayor Ramey, there are a lot of challenges that we do face, and there, you know, there, I would imagine there probably would be a better way to do it, and if it means, you know, if that's what it means to better a community, I don't think it'll be too difficult of a time finding employment again, I hope. But with that said, you know, please consider your support for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions from the council? Do we need to vote for this?
No, unless you have any objection, I've actually already proactively given Chris the same letter that you have a copy of. I told him if you didn't like it, I'd need that letter back. So.
We need to talk about this, council. We're getting manhandled.
Is it the same letter?
I was trying to make it.
Yeah,
I call that decently and in order.
Yeah.
So if you're good with it, Chris has got the letter that you have, and Chris, what it says is pretty much what your letter says. I took that and said we recommend it.
Any objections from anybody? Thank you. You're good.
We're good with it.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Council.
Thank you for coming.
No problem.
Is there anything else you need from me, Mayor, tonight?
No, sir. I think you're good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you guys
so much. I appreciate it.
Be careful.
Next, we have comments from the mayor and council. Any comments from council?
Can I speak to our council workshops that we did?
You may.
Training
sure.
workshops over the summer. I missed y'all while I was in Greece a little bit, but I was busy in July. Mayor Amy and Councilman Powell and I went to the PMPA conference in Myrtle Beach, and then Councilwoman Snipes and I went to the Municipal Association, and both were just really great learning opportunities. And one of the things that I really picked up from the Municipal Association conference was a focus on civility, and I think that we have the right people in place now to be civil with one another. But we're going to, I'm hoping in future meetings we'll talk a little bit more about the civility pledge that the Municipal Association has put out. And make that sort of a community-wide thing that we're going to be civil with all of God's people.
Amen.
There you go.
I know we missed last month's meeting, and just a lot happened in the city. I guess it's the guys. We have a lot of outage, and I know nobody mentioned it, but I'm telling you, those guys done a wonderful job, and I really, really thank them all.
Absolutely.
Together. And every one of them, they was working so hard to make everything possible to have our power and everything restored. And they work day and night, and definitely, definitely, they need to be recognized and know that they are doing a great job. And I thank you guys, all of you, for what you've done.
Anybody else on the council got anything to say? All right, well, I want to introduce Ms. Rebecca Grubbs. She's our Oconee County Chamber representative. She's doing a fantastic job. I appreciate what you're doing. For those of the council that don't know her, what days are you there?
I am there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 to 3.
So if you get an opportunity to go by and visit her a little bit, give her a little support. I mean, she's doing a really good job for us.
She makes sure that everybody knows she's there, and she goes around and let everybody know that she's there for us as a business people. I know she comes 3, 4, 5 times to the restaurant to offer her help and whatever we need to do.
It's very persistent.
That's true.
Very persistent. Thank you.
And she's at City Hall, Mayor.
She's at City Hall. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The other thing, kind of going off of what Miss Audrey talked about, the civility pledge, the Municipal Association has a template for that on their website. It's in, probably you got an email this month, if you would. If council would look at it and let Kevin know if you want to try to adopt that next month, it's something that I think is worth looking at. But if council members get an opportunity to look at that and read through that, then just to let council know, the sewer authority did vote. The board members voted to change the bylaws last week so that any city employee who a full-time city employee will be allowed to serve on the board no matter where they live. So we have that has been changed in the bylaws now. There might be a little bit of disagreement on it from one area, but as of right now it is in effect. The bylaws have been changed, so we don't have it on the agenda this month, but I would like the council, if you do get an opportunity to speak with Mr. Bronson and Mr. Baker this month, and then next month, you know, if we decide we want to change who our representatives are, we can do it next month.
After speaking with them?
Yeah, I think everybody ought to talk to Kevin and Lee individually and just see how they feel about it.
Sure.
Kevin, that good with you? Lee?
So one more point of clarification on that, Mayor. The OJRSA board, of which you and Lee are a part of, voted to change those bylaws, and in review of the minutes, because I did go to the meeting, I think what was supposed to happen is the city was supposed to get notice that those bylaws had been changed. Well, because you have representatives as a city, you have Mr. Baker, you have the mayor, I think we skipped a lot of the formalities in that notification. So the mayor has just now so notified you.
The email didn't get sent that was supposed to have been sent from the board, so yeah. That's what happened.
So if you have any objection to that, or if you are agreeable with that, either way, you can let me know what is going on behind the scenes that hasn't kind of come all the way out into full public view right now. Is the three cities are stating officially what their position is on that bylaw change. It's unclear if you state a certain position whether or not that changes anything that happened with the board's vote. But at the same time, it's helpful if you state position. Again, you don't have any action item on that because I didn't receive anything for you to act upon. But the mayor's now notified you that took place, which is what it's called for. So I don't know, Mayor, if you want to, you as a council now, want to, kind of like we just did with Chris, ask me to write a letter to the board and say that we, as a city, or you as a city council, like the bylaw change, or don't like bylaw change, or anything else that you'd like to say.
That's something you and Andrew may need to determine. Our recommendation from the OJRSA attorney was basically based on what the bylaw stated. It didn't request anything from the city. It just stated that we give the cities notice, which is what we did. But seeing as how the other two cities have sent a letter, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do it. But I was basing what I was told to do, just basically let the council know, and that was all we really,
okay,
according to bylaws. But if you feel better with a letter, I think it'd be great if this council agrees with it.
If nothing else, we are consistent with the other two cities.
Right.
If you direct me to send a letter that says you as a council do or don't support it.
So does anybody on council have any thoughts on that? Are y'all okay with it?
Yeah.
Him sending the letter, you agree with it?
Yes.
Agree with the bylaw change?
Yes.
Sure. You already have that one drafted too?
No, this just came up today.
That on that,
yeah, this just, the letters just came out today. We didn't know we needed to.
Yeah, those came out late this afternoon. I didn't get around to it.
So you have that. I want to personally thank Miss Debbie Snipes for all her efforts with Anderson Park. So everything you see going on at Anderson Park, she's the one pushing and pulling over there. So she's doing a great job with that. And for those of you who don't know, we've started, and I know Lee's going to give us an update on the VFD pumps. We had a nightmare, worse than a nightmare, whatever. Everything went to pot. And Lee was supposed to be going on vacation when they were changing the pumps out. We ended up having to put a possible conserve water notice out. He stayed with us, worked through it until he got it rolling, and then when he was comfortable with it, he turned it over to Terry. Terry stayed with it, so he and the rest of the guys maintained and kept everything going, and we did not run short of water. Pump got changed, so they did an outstanding job last week. So I appreciate what they did. Anybody on council got anything else? All right, you ready to roll?
All right.
All right, no, nothing under old business. We're going to new business. First reading ordinance number 2022-09-13-01. This is to authorize equipment lease purchase agreement in the amount not exceeding $415,000 between the City of Westminster and Truist Bank, North Carolina Banking Corporation, to defray the cost of acquiring certain equipment and other matters relating thereto.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. When we passed the current fiscal year budget, that included the purchase of the equipment that you see listed here under item number one, which is one electric line truck, two police vehicles, one fire vehicle, and that's it. And when you add in the closing cost for that, comes close to that amount that we have in there, $415,000. When you pass the budget for this, for us to finance these, which is what we suggested to you that we would do, you must now authorize the financing with the bank, and then later in the agenda you would have to authorize the purchase of the equipment. What you'll see later in the agenda is we have quotes for the three public safety vehicles, but we don't have a quote yet on the electric line truck. That's okay. You don't have to pass all of it at one time, and you have to do it by ordinance. So it takes two readings of this for the financing to go through. You also, once you do first reading, the chiefs can go get their cars. So Chief Patterson, I've been holding back like a, what metaphor did I use earlier, like a group of wild Clydesdales. He's got two cars identified. He worked hard to find them. You can appreciate the fact that it's hard to find any type of vehicle these days, but Chief Patterson, Chief Smith went down and they beat the bushes. They've got some vehicles. Chief Patterson's are ready for pickup. So if you approve this tonight, he will go down tomorrow morning and pick those up.
I don't know, he might go tonight.
Oh. I think if they were open, he would go tonight.
Do we have a motion?
Second.
And a second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Alder?
Yep.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Next, item two, under new business, first reading ordinance 2022-09-13-02, authorizing equipment lease purchase agreement in the amount not exceeding $174,406 between the City of Westminster and Community First National Bank to defray the cost of acquiring certain equipment and other matters relating thereto.
Mayor, Council, this is the same as what we just talked about with the vehicles, but because we are financing the purchase of the equipment through a lease purchase mechanism, this one would be with Community First National Bank. It's required that you authorize the financing of the equipment before we get to the purchasing of the equipment. I will note that on this particular one, in speaking with the bond council, some of you who are new may not be aware, but you as a council, you have a number of attorneys looking out for your interest and the city's interest as the council, and one of those is what we call bond council. The Burr Foreman Group over in Greenville, but they have offices all over, but they've represented the city for quite a few years, and they have to sign off whenever you do a lease purchase agreement. They have signed off on both of these. But what they have asked me to do on this one, for a whole lot of very complicated legal reasons, you need to have 15 days of separation between the final agreement of the first ordinance you just approved and this one. So what they are asking is that the workshop that you have scheduled for next Tuesday, that you have this one as an action item to approve on second reading. You would still do the truest ordinance for the public safety vehicles in September. Again, it's a tax thing. I don't understand most of it. If you would like to understand it, we'll get Mike Burns on the phone anytime that you'd like so that you can understand it. But it's not a big deal from my perspective, but I wanted to make sure that it wasn't a big deal for you. We have that work session scheduled where you would convene as a council already. Very likely you would have this and maybe one other item if we had to pull something in. And I wanted to make sure that you're comfortable with that.
Is it in order to do that on a workshop?
Yeah, okay. What we'll do is we'll probably call it a special called meeting rather than just a workshop, okay, since you'll be taking action. Basically, the difference between your workshop and a meeting is whether or not you receive public input.
Okay.
So you'll have public input at your next meeting if anyone chooses to. That's a motion. It's not a lot.
Well, do we have a motion?
Go ahead.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? Kevin, is there a reason we're not using local banks for any of these? Have you checked? Is it the interest rate, or is it something to do with the bond council?
So with the lease purchase of the vehicles, BB&T, which is now Truist, has long been they'll undercut pretty much anybody. It's just their niche on equipment. For the fire service equipment, the SCBAs, the company that we bought, or we're looking to buy them from, they finance it through Community First. I'm sorry that I didn't mention it, and I only made vague notice reference to it in your agenda. Those SCBAs, we're actually piggybacking off of Oconee County's contract when they bought that same equipment for all of their, it was all of the county staff.
All county, yeah.
So in order for us to have the same equipment, we piggybacked off their contract, and they went through Community First, or else we would have likely bid that one out. But I think that's a good point to bring up. Typically, and I'm not aware that either Blue Ridge or, I just blanked on the
Community.
That I don't know that they, as banks, offer these mechanisms with the competitive rates that these two banks do. But again, since we were piggybacking off of the one with the county, I didn't shop that one around. Mm-hmm.
We have a motion to second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Item number 3, first reading ordinance number 2022-09-13-03. Ordinance amending the City of Westminster schedule of fees referred to as the clerk's record to incorporate backflow testing fees.
Yeah, so Mayor, you have in here what we call the clerk's record. This is your schedule of fees that the City Council authorizes your city staff to go out and charge anyone for anything. You have to do a number of things whenever you modify that schedule of fees. Typically, you only do it when you adopt the budget, but you have to have two readings of an ordinance, and you have to publicly notice the fees that are being added or changed and hold a public hearing. If you agree to this on first reading tonight, we will notice, do a public notice for your September meeting, and you will also have a public hearing as part of your council meeting on that next month. I'm going to turn the description of this over to Lee. This came as a recommendation from Lee that council consider this as part of your fee schedule.
I'll let Terry talk about it. He's the one that's been doing this work.
The backflows are required through DHEC. Me and Lee go through once a year with our sanitation survey through DHEC, and they run over our backflows and everything that we have through them. They make sure that we enforce them. That is through DHEC, that's from DHEC that we're supposed to enforce them. We just sent me to school in June to become a certified tester through the state. So now I'm able to go test these instead of having us chase these people down and send multiple letters through us having to get the ball rolling, because there's a lot of people that are getting behind on these, and it looks bad on us through DHEC because they're not getting tested like they're supposed to. So we're just trying to get to be compliant with DHEC is the main thing when we do our sanitation survey, so that we're not behind is all this is. And if y'all don't have any clue what backflows are. Backflows are for if you've got some kind of cross contamination, so like a sink full of soap or something like that. It just makes it to where that doesn't come back into our public water. That's all that pretty much does. It's just something safe to make it to where that water will not come back in our system. It's pretty much what that does. Simply.
Basically, a check valve that only allows
one
flow in one direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what I love that too is that when Terry went to that school, we had talked where he went. We have our own check and our own system. Well, now he can do it for us, which is great, right? We're compliant, we're concurrent. But the flip side of that is there are several customers we send letters out to. Hey, 2 months you're due, a month you're due. Well, they're out of compliance in there, and then within our DHEC that Terry brought up, there has to be an enforcement. We can't go to the customer and say, well, DX is going to find you, because they won't. They're going to say, what's the city's mechanism to make sure it gets done? Well, and when we went to that class, we had a good conversation with people there and said, hey, put a rate in there that's more than a customer normally pay. Because we found out, we started paying the same price when they come to us. They said, you know what I'm doing, just come do our backflows. will then end up having a full-time person must be backfilled. So if you put the rate a little higher, they'll find out that why pay someone here? And some people still do it because it's convenient, but it usually forces the issue to where, hey, if you don't get it done at the due date, we will come in and do it for you and then bill you for that. That way we're in compliance, the city's getting their compliance up to standards, and then the customers say you can pay $50 less, but you've got to do it at this time. We're still notifying them way in advance, giving them heads up, certified mail. And this is a constant. Yes. Terry can say, sit down with Jennifer once a month, here goes 10 letters, here goes 5 letters, and then, you know, and we're calling the phone and mails trying to help expedite this. But this is going to take a little pressure off that. You know, DEAC comes back to us, we can say, next year in our survey, they asked that question 2 years in a row. Right here, we've got it. Here's our written policy, and we're enforcing it.
It looks good to us, too, with us moving forward with trying to do something like this. He's told us that we need to work on having some kind of enforcement. So this looks a lot better on, you know, our end, because we're trying to have some kind of enforcement to help us stay compliant with DEAC.
And hopefully we'll get to a point where we don't have to use it.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll get this absolute communication out where they know it's way better on their part to get that ahead of time.
Well, to your point, I was concerned about the price that you're charging. I mean, is that enough? Should we not raise that rate up?
I think that's...
So we don't get enough, because I'm looking, if you're just charging $110 for a backflow on a residential, on a regular, I don't know, the plumbers are not going a lot higher now than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a recommendation. I mean, you know, if the council decides that they want to add a little bit more, then yeah,
I'd feel more comfortable, because I don't think our employees should be out doing backflow testing for everybody.
I agree.
We totally
should just be an emergency situation.
We raised our rates, what was it? We did raise them $30 more than the
minimum. Yeah, but you're close to average here. You're not far off.
Yeah, so. And that was, we figured this out months ago. So to your point, Mr. Mayor, we could be the same price as everybody else. We don't want to get in this business.
Right.
It's just a way to protect the city, for lack of a better term.
I paid $200 for mine.
First customer, right?
Let's see.
I mean, I already paid somebody. I mean, it is what it is. He kept to do it and it cost me $200.
Yeah, part of the process. So.
Well, if we approve it as written, you can save $50 right now.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Which is what we're trying not to do.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So can we adjust the fees now before we vote on this?
Absolutely.
Council okay with that? Anybody have a recommendation on the fee change? I don't like it as is. I'm afraid we're going to have Terry getting called every week to do backflow testing if we leave it like it is.
Just flip that. The fees requested our line with the average cost of a plumber line, and we're in business.
Just go to the high point?
I would.
How's the rest of the council feel with that? And if you look at the box for the average cost for a plumber, the high end, $150, $160, $200. What if we switch that to our fee? How would council feel?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
If you look at the average cost for a plumber,
yes,
just for the high end of $150, $160, and $200, if we make that our rates instead of the requested rates.
Okay. Y'all are the ones in construction and know this stuff better than I do. Does that make sense to do?
It would to me, or we're going to end up doing all the backflow testing for every business in town.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're not careful.
Well, if the city do it, it's more money for the city. It's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're not going to do it free, so this is a good idea. But.
Are we really making any money, though, if we're going out there doing a backflow test at $150?
You're making money because you're talking. Right.
The desire's not to.
I can have a backflow test.
I say leave it as it is.
We spend more time on the chasing than we do the actual backflow test, I would say, to be legit.
Yeah.
For us, we're sending out letters months in advance, and we're calling, and they say, oh, yeah, we have it. They didn't show up, and then we're calling them again. And then I want to get out of that world. I want to get in the world where we notify you, and then we notify you, and you don't get it done. We're showing up to before the due date, and we'll just build you.
I think that way
it's simple and clean. And I think once that starts happening, they'll take care of it. And to your point, a little higher fee would help, I think, expedite that. There's people that will do it for you.
Yeah.
For cheaper than we're going to do it.
That's true.
So, yeah, I'm all for it.
I just leave it as it is, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to do it, wouldn't you want to be higher than average?
I wouldn't. I think needs to stay the way it is. The way the guys, they put it in there, that's a good one.
If you're trying to be a provider of last resort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got two different opinions here, so we need a motion one way or the other to go with it as listed or increase the rate.
I feel like we need to leave it as listed because they've done it. They know what's going on with it, and I leave it as it is.
The concern, I think, is if we leave it as is, then these guys are going to have a lot more calls, and right now we don't have somebody in that position to go out and do that.
And you have to think, too, you're using administrative costs. Letters and all those, mm-hmm. that time, you put that money into that, you're losing money all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Well, so do we have a motion?
For what?
Well, we need a motion either to go with the rate as listed or increase the rate.
I would just leave it as is. I made a motion to leave it as is.
Right. We have that as a motion. Do we have a second? We don't have a second for that one. Do we have another motion?
Make a motion for the higher price.
Is there an in-between? Between leaving it as is and going on the high end? That's what I would make a motion to do.
Well, going on the high end, in my opinion, isn't going to hurt us at all. It's not going to hurt anybody at all because you can still, even if we put these fees, they can go out and get their own plumber.
Right.
And get it done cheaper.
I guess I'm thinking about folks that may not necessarily know that they can do that. You know what I mean? I think about Audrey being clueless right now.
It's all the information we give them.
What's that?
We give them actually names of contact.
Okay.
That's all sent to them.
That's on the DHEC website of certified testers. Oh, there's lists of testers with phone numbers.
Yeah, and this is a yearly thing that the businesses have to do. They're all aware of it, just like Yusuf knew automatically what his was. They know it. It's just the ones that keep putting it off. If they continue to put it off and then the city has to do it for them,
they're
going to have to pay that fee.
I understand.
But it pulls our guys from what they need to be doing, repairing, replacing, or whatever.
Well, if the city has to do it, you don't want to be doing it for cheaper.
No. Right. So, we've got a motion from Jimmy to go with the listed average cost high end of $150, $160, $200. We've got that motion on the table now. Do we have a second for that?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yep.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, next on the agenda, first reading ordinance number 2022-09-13-04, an ordinance approving the execution and delivery of a pole attachment license agreement by and between the City of Westminster, South Carolina, and Blue Ridge Electric Co-op, and other matters related thereto.
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. Blue Ridge Electric is a part of a group called Upcountry Fiber that is... They're working very diligently to install fiber optic lines to every home that's in their service area. And they are willing to come into our electric service area and begin installing some of that fiber. And very quickly, the way it works is Blue Ridge comes in and they actually install the line. And they'll call that the black fiber, dark fiber. Thank you. All those Batman euphemisms got me there. Then a group that's called Upcountry Fiber comes in and they hook that up to the home and they provide very strong internet service. 1 gigabyte, I think, upload and download, which I think is enough to watch several movies on Netflix at the same time. We have an opportunity right now with Blue Ridge for them to come in and provide that fiber in our downtown district. Lee and I are going to meet with Zach Kenton. I think next week we've met with them a number of times to get them to come in and do that. But we need to have a pole attachment agreement for this to take place. So we have used our attorneys with their attorneys and they've come up with this pole attachment agreement. You may recall that really for every different attachment on that pole that is not our own, we have a contract for that. So we currently have a contract with AT&T. We have a contract with Vi. Right now we're working on a contract with what used to be Charter that is now Spectrum. That agreement isn't finalized, but I expect it'll come to you at the September 6th meeting, or September meeting, whichever date that is. But anyway, we need to have one with Blue Ridge if we were to implement this, not just in the downtown district, but my hope is once they complete that, that we'll get them to install this in other parts of our city as well. And that is, it's very strong internet service, a bit stronger than what you're getting on some of the others, but it also gives everyone in our town, for start with the downtown district, more options for service. So we aren't choosing, or we're not going to advocate Blue Ridge or the Upcountry Fiber over Vi or AT&T. That's the customer's choice to make, but this gives them more choice. So my recommendation to you is to pass the pole attachment agreement as presented.
And I want to go off of that. Zach spoke, Zach Kenton with Blue Ridge. He spoke at our Rotary today, and we asked him some questions. He said that this would be quick if we get this agreement approved. They're already looking at it. The good thing is we already have the fiber, a lot of the fiber in place. And he said to encourage all the citizens, everybody, to get on the, what's it, Upcountry Fiber website?
Upcountryfiber.com.
And request it. And if you'll do that, it'll make it a lot quicker. The more people they get on there requesting it, the quicker they'll move into the neighborhoods and off of Main Street. Cost, I think you said, Audrey, was it $50 for residential?
Started at 50, and that was for like 250 megabytes a second, which if you've got Vi or AT&T, you know that you're paying more than $50 a month for that.
Yep. And then the businesses started around 100.
We're going to start around 100.
Yep. So it's coming, and this will be good. But he did want us to encourage the locals, everybody, to get on there and request it, so that they'll see that they have enough interest, they'll go ahead and start moving out into the city. So do we have a motion?
I see.
Motion second. Any other discussion?
I just have a question, and it's probably for Lee. I read through this thing, and Article 6 is overlashing. What is that?
So overlashing is if you have an existing fiber line or with a usually metallic guy wire, basically like in terms of holds the poles up, they'll run that through there. And instead of the strength of that guy wire is good, they'll run another fiber right across it and they'll lash it to the other one. Instead of stringing new fiber and all that stuff,
okay,
they call it overlashing. That way it saves a lot of time and money.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
I'm just impressed you read all that.
Hey, these people work really hard to make this packet to live put together. And somebody knocks on my door pretty incessantly when I'm upstairs to make sure I come down and get this packet. I want to read it.
Good job. All right, we have a motion second. Call for a vote, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, next, first reading ordinance number 2022-09-13-05, an ordinance amending the City of Westminster's budget ordinance, an ordinance making appropriations for certain expenses, capital improvements, and indebtedness of the City of Westminster, South Carolina for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2022 and ending June 30, 2023.
Yes, Mayor. So, Jimmy, I see you saying, what is that? Well, this is so I'm always trying to improve upon my last effort. When we did the last budget amendment, it was a little bit less descriptive than I think it should be, so this time I put all the language in there. So chalk that up, Jimmy, to me. And the second thing that I'll mention is you have a map that is attached to this ordinance and one of the others. It has no place being there. That's my mistake.
Yeah.
Those maps. I borrowed one ordinance to draft the other ones, and somehow that map just won't go away. So hopefully you won't see it again. I'm not going to guarantee it. What you have here is, at the last council meeting, we had a discussion about police officer pay, and you more or less consented to me to go in and adjust the police officers that we have, seven of them, to adjust their pay using the money that we had to pay nine officers. Well, the difference between the nine and the seven was around $200,000, give or take. And we used about $100,000 of that, or will over the course of the whole year with those officer adjustments. The other part that we talked about was doing that same type of adjustment for firefighters. Because we've got the same challenge with firefighters that we've had with police officers in being able to recruit, I guess attract and recruit is the same thing, recruit, attract, and retain those firefighters in these positions because of our pay compared to other places they could work nearby, Oconee County, City of Seneca, City of Wahala, going over to Anderson and Rinford County. So what we discussed last time was that we would take that roughly $100,000 that was left over from giving those raises to the police officers, move that into the fire department salary line item, and then we would adjust the firefighter salaries in about that same manner. Chief Smith and I have done some preliminary work. I'm not quite ready to pull the trigger on it yet, but I think the amount of money that we need to have what I'll call cost competitive firefighter pay is about $94,000 over the course of the year. It's give or take just a little bit. It kind of depends on someone's experience level coming in. But this would allow us to achieve that. In order for me to move the money, or I cannot, as your administrator, move money from one department to another. That's only something that the city council can do. So I'm here to ask you if you're still in agreement with that plan that the chiefs and I have been marching down, then I would ask you to approve this budget amendment that will allow us to move that money from police to fire, and then we would implement the new pay bands, which will also affect the rates of the firefighter pay.
Do we have a motion? Motion and second. Any further discussion or any more questions? Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Absolutely. Yes.
Brian?
Yes. All right, item six. I will thank you, Council, for that. I think that's going to really help with both those departments.
Yes, it does.
Consideration resolution number 0809-2022-01. Resolution authorizing the City of Westminster to provide for cost overruns for the South Carolina Infrastructure Investment Program and other matters related thereto. Mr. Bronson.
Yeah, so we've talked quite a bit about the money that will come from the state. The Rural Infrastructure Authority, which we have the ability to apply for water and sewer grants, has been given the responsibility for administering what's called the South Carolina Infrastructure and Improvement Program that we use the acronym SCIP. Get that right, Lee? Sometimes I'll add an H in there when I pronounce it, so I'm correct. But, we have the ability to apply for up to $10 million out of that pot of money, and we have to provide a 15% match. Now, I'm going to be coming back to you once Lee, Troy, rest of the Lee staff, and I have come up with what we think those projects would be that we'll apply for. The application is due September the 12th, which is going to be much sooner than I can actually maneuver if I wait till your next council meeting. So very likely, I'm kind of forewarning you here, I'm probably going to ask you to have a special call meeting that blesses what we would put in that application, because it would be required. We didn't have a lot of time, as much time as we would have liked, particularly in working with Troy, to have a lot more discussion with you about that. And that's just based off of the Rural Infrastructure Authority getting the money from the state and wanting to get it out on the street. They truncated the time. So, challenge as it is, you know, Lee and I are always up for a good challenge. So, and we brought Troy along with us on that. to make sure that our application is as competitive as possible, which is why Chris Eliezer was here tonight, to get your endorsement and your support for his application for a different grant altogether, but same pot of money. It helps if we have a couple of policies in place or if the council has passed some resolutions that speak to the concerns that the Rural Infrastructure Authority expressed when they put out their program guidelines. And because I know everyone, including Andrea Kelly, loves my weekly administrator report, I put the full Rural Infrastructure Authority PowerPoint presentation that details that in my last administrator report. So if you really want to do a deep dive, it's there.
Yes.
Some of their concerns with putting this money on the street is the inflation that we've seen and the cost of materials and labor. So the Rural Infrastructure Authority is requiring us to put a 25% contingency on everything we apply for. That's good and bad, because it's money that we're going to hold, either one, hoping we get the price is going to inflate to that, or two, we're holding and we aren't able to use. We're going to comply with that. Along with that, they are concerned that if the cost come in after the project has started and there's a cost overrun, they want to be assured that we will complete the project. One way to do that is to have you pass this resolution that says, and this will be a part of our packet, that if we bid the project out and we start the project and there's a cost overrun, that we will pick up the difference. There is a bit of risk in that. What I'll say up front, where we mitigate some of the risk, is if we bid the project out and they come in higher than what the money we've been allotted, we can go back and rebid the project and scale it down so that we can afford it. It's not pushing us to do something that we can't afford up front. What this is intended to cover is that if in the period of construction, for some reason, those costs of either materials or supply go up and the contractor comes back and says we want or we need more money, that we will cover that difference. Now for us, we have a little bit of opportunity here in that you keep about 30 days cash on hand. Went through the budget presentation. One day worth of cash to the city of Westminster is about $30,000. So that means you have about $900,000 of cash on hand. Now we certainly wouldn't want to use all that in one fell swoop, but by passing this, you aren't passing it, or I should say you're passing it in good faith because you have the ability as a council to cover the cost overruns. It's not like we don't have any money in the bank. You have some that we can do that. Again, it's a little bit of a risk because you're guaranteeing up front that we're going to complete the project. We kind of need to complete the project anyway. We have money that we can complete the project, but I think you folks know that Lee and I and Troy are going to do everything we can so that this mechanism never has to be triggered. But I can't guarantee it. So this comes at my recommendation. I'm going to go ahead and say it was Lee's because he's probably not going to say he's not. And then Troy was the one who really recommended that you adopt the policy, believing that it would make our grant application that much stronger, which is really what we're trying to do. So I turned it over to you for any questions.
One of the options you said we may have would be if we bid out one of these projects on a per foot basis, so we could cut down the footage if we saw an overage coming.
Yeah, and we still have to work this out with Troy, but very likely what we would do is apply for, let's just say $1 million of what we go after would be based off of a linear foot improvement. And so we take that $1 million, we go to a contractor and say, all right, however far this gets us. And we do however many linear feet $1 million will cover. Now you'll know what that is because you as a council have to approve this before we go to the, we authorize any construction. But, you know, 2 years ago, two years ago, that amount of money probably would have got you more than double the amount of linear feet that we're going to get. But that's a way to control the cost, and that's one of the mechanisms where we wouldn't necessarily hit an overrun situation.
you base it on unit foot, unit pressure, right?
Right.
Because if you're doing sewer with this, you're getting 1,000 feet of sewer. If it's just a sewer line, cheap. They're not deep, what's in the ground. But it gets us to services. So if you're doing a line that's got 20 services off it, so you got to do a base price. And usually they go like 0 to 6 foot, and then 6 to 12 foot, or 10, and then 10 to 14. And you base it on that with how many laterals they are. And you can get a unit base price on that. And working with Troy, he works with many people besides us, he's got a pretty good pulse of what they're paying. So we set our unit based price upon that. And that would give us an idea if we did linear feet of 1,000 feet with this many services, worth about this much per foot. And then we bid those jobs out, and it came close to that, we'd be pretty close. And then we could say, okay, we can make a patch repair here and back up 200 feet and pick up that difference. I mean,
right.
That kind of keeps us out of the fire. Only thing I can see being in construction mode in this is if you hit some, like, you start digging, you know, and hit substantial rock, are they going to bring in specialized equipment or something like that that would get us, or some kind of void in the ground in the backfill or something that was unforeseen?
Mm. That was going to be my question. So do we not have some kind of contractual agreement whenever we bid these things out to these guys, whoever the winning bid is, to where they purchase their material up front and then we're not stuck if the prices jump?
You do, but most of them have a thing in there that says so much time in there. Is the time. So if you make agreement in 30 days or whatever it is, but I'm getting emails right now, you have 48 hours and your bid's no longer good.
Yeah.
It's that tight now. Yeah. So if you go out and you're buying, I know, like Hall Road, they're working with 3 different vendors right now trying to get that 6-inch pipe. So they may be paying a good price for this one, but they got to have it to finish. So they may escalate their prices, they may pay it to get it. And so that's where you're getting a bind. It's just such a tough market to, mm-hmm. you know, to work with right now. But I would say that's not our biggest risk. Our biggest risk, I would say, is a specialized part we don't expect, or hit a major 200 foot rock slab. They got to bring in something, some serious equipment to rent to get through that to get our right flows for our depth. Which I would have a hard time believing here since they're already in the ground.
Mm, right.
You know, how much contingency do you say we have?
25%. And I think Troy typically was doing 10% on projects. I think that's how much we have on Hall Street right now.
Yeah, 25 seems a lot. So.
Yeah, so like I said, it's
requirement.
That's a pretty strong contingency to have in place. So that gives me a lot more comfort in making this recommendation that you pass this saying we cover it, because I think we get to limited circumstances that it would come about, but those circumstances are still there.
That's the environment.
Yes.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to consider the resolution number 08-09-2022-01.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion or any more questions? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Bron?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Next item, number 7, consideration of resolution number 08-09-2022-02, resolution affirming the City of West Mercer commitment to increasing efficiencies, improving planning and management of assets, and lowering cost of infrastructure installation to provide for a dig once policy.
Sounds like poetry when you read it that way.
Oh, just my voice.
Can you tell I like voice. The way that was written?
Yeah.
So what's good for you is I've just explained most of what you need to know for this policy. It goes hand in glove with applying for that skip money. What I think the challenge is for anybody who runs a public utility is you want to make sure when you crack the dirt open, that you put everything in there that you need to one time instead of having to open back and forth, or many times. So part of what the Rural Infrastructure Authority is doing, along with the state of South Carolina's effort to get fiber to every home, is to incentivize utilities to let the companies that are putting fiber in the ground know when you're going to have a hole that they can put their conduit in as well. Most of the time, because we're the electric, water, and the sewer provider, we would just be notifying ourselves.
Okay.
But because we do have these other communications that are out there, or we have the communication companies that are out there, we would notify them when we're going to do a project from A to B, from location A to location B, that we're going to dig a trench and give them a chance to either come in and dig next to us, or we would widen our trench to include their utilities. And Lee could probably tell you if you ask him, where all those utilities go in the ground have a prescribed place. So the sewer's on the bottom, and water's on the top, and electric's on top of that, and
it depends.
Communication,
so
yes.
It can be side by side, so far apart. Yeah. But I think that, to Kevin's point, the big hitter would be is, for instance, for a good example, say Westminster Crossing blew up, and you start building houses like crazy. That second wave, because we got gas, we got communications, we got sewer, water, electric, you can really take advantage of your joint trenches. Because you share a cost, too. So if you would go across, there's everything that's across, that's great. You're paying for our conduit, or you're not using our ditch. It goes both ways, right? I mean, you got the ditch open. Let's say we're getting that thing if we can. You just got to maintain separation. And
so, again, talking with Troy, we think this makes us competitive in our grant application, that we're going to notify everyone when we get into that. And we have the, because of the pole attachment agreements I mentioned to you a minute ago, we have contact information for everybody. So what we'll do is we'll incorporate that as part of our due diligence whenever we work on the project.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
All right, item 8, authorization to purchase equipment in the fiscal year 2022-23 budget. There are funds to purchase various equipment for city departments as described below. Kevin?
Yes, sir, Mayor and Council. What I'll ask you to do is for each lettered item that you make a separate motion. So you'll have a different one for 8A, different one for 8B, going all the way down through E. And that's, I think that makes it very clear that you're authorizing each thing. In this year's budget, you have a rock hammer, if you want to know what that is, we'll have to ask Lee, and a trailer to go along with the rock hammer, or to go along with other equipment. You have in here quotes for those two pieces of equipment. We recommend that you go with Bennett Equipment of Westminster for the rock hammer at $8,980, and also with Bennett Equipment for the drop deck trailer for $11,860.
Question: is it wise to run that rock hammer on that tractor? I've ran one and it beats a excavator to death. Is that tractor going to handle it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's you that matches that machine. If I'm wrong, but that's what we got. What happens is, like right up here on 123, with that water line in, we had like 6 feet, and we beat out with a hoe forever. And we finally just went and rented a piece of machinery. And after 3 days of beating us, 2 hours, we broke that one piece of rock. So it's just
right.
We'll use it for those special circumstances, one here, one there. It just saves us from renting equipment. When you rent a piece of equipment, the problem is once you get it, and if you have an emergency, you're paying for it while it's sitting there. So that one cost us, we had like 3 days going, so it cost us $1,200 for something new for 3 hours.
Right.
But it's not something that Mini-X, to your point, if it was an 80 or 80 next size, I think it would be a lot better for that, but it's going to be a used as needed. And not only that, we can't get to, we were trying to break a hydrant a while back.
Yeah.
It's going to pour like 5 yards of concrete on the dang thing. So yeah. Something like that, we could pop into that and save us. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's what it's for. And a little information of the trailer we got will also haul our new skid steer. Right now, all we can haul is in that big giant trailer we have with our line truck. This will allow us to pull it with, like right now, we had a pickup pulling the Mini-X like everyone else does around here. But that trailer is not designed for that. I know we have that trailer for last year. We ran that when we could use it. It makes it a lot easier. It gets one bigger, plus it gets one piece of equipment and leaves it in the yard. Saves us fuel. Whenever we use our line truck or a big dump truck to pull it, we just pull it with our pickup. So it saves us fuel and saves us space.
Thanks, Lee.
Have we not already approved CD&E?
Yeah, No, you approved the financing for CDBG,
not the purchase.
But not the purchase. Yet for, and I'm sorry I didn't mention this, but for these two pieces of equipment, we budgeted to buy these outright with the cash that we have in the budget. So you, there's no financing authorization. You technically already did that when you passed the budget.
All right, so we need a motion for item 8A. Is that the way you want that voted?
Yes.
I'll go ahead.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Vaughn?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
All right, next is item 8B, capital project account, utilities water service line truck.
And so we budgeted for this water service line truck, $80,000. The quote that we have in hand right now is just a little under 85. But if you'll look up to 8A, you see that in the footnote there that we saved a little over $9,000 between what we budgeted and the purchase price. So my recommendation to you as a council is that you approve the purchase of the truck at a little under $85,000 because we have the funds to cover it. Again, we're using cash on hand, so there's not a financing penalty that we would incur back then.
If you will, council, so you're all aware, I messed that up a little bit because the cost of, we allowed for some cost increase on that truck we went to you guys, but what I missed was a rack on the truck, and without that rack to haul our pipe around and fix our stuff, we'd be hauling a trailer behind us, so that's what pushed that price up a little bit as well. And we're at the same place over there. Murdoch's giving us some good price on that. It's way cheaper than anyone else. So he gives us state pricing. There's no way to do a fleet pricing for us. So that's why it jumped up a little bit.
Get that vibrator for your rack.
No.
But if you don't, it mine roars. I've got the same thing. It roars constantly. Yeah, you do that. Yeah, you can't hear inside the truck. All right. Do we have a motion to approve item 8B, purchase of a service line truck?
I make a motion.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Vaughn?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, item 8C, non-departmental account, the fire marshal's vehicle at $45,000.
Yes, sir, Mayor. So for council, for C&D, these are the public safety vehicles. Chief Smith was able to get a quote for $45,998 for a new fire marshal vehicle. That's because we're going to have to go with the 2023 version because there was not a 2022 version to go out.
What a shame.
And so, and we would do that through Love Chevrolet because they have the state contract for that. That is about about $1,000 over budget from what you approved. But if you look down at the next line item, Chief Patterson made up for Chief Smith in that he was able to secure two vehicles for $72,864 when you authorized $90,000. So, we have funds that cover that, and the way this works with the financing mechanism that you agreed to is once the vehicles are purchased, we draw the funds down for the bank. We only pay them back what we borrow, and we're not obligated to borrow all of it. It's just up to that amount. So with that covers C and D, except I'll note that for D, Chief Patterson is able to go tomorrow and pick those two new vehicles up. And I don't expect anything's going to keep them from doing it.
So nobody have emergencies, what you're saying?
I think you could have emergencies with the sheriff's department.
Come in $17,000 under budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't get them to knock $998 off your truck.
So are we still doing these separately just by point of order, or can we do them together?
I would prefer you do them individually.
Okay.
All right, then I'll make a motion to approve
8C.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Audrey?
Yep.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes.
All right, item 8D.
So moved.
From the non-departmental account, police cruisers. Somebody hold the door before Matt runs out.
Second.
I'm going to take this motion in a second. We got them on the table. Any further discussion? Did you get it, Rebecca?
Good.
You got it. Any further discussion? Call for a vote.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Absolutely.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
He's still here.
There he goes.
In the future, if it's ever $17,000 under what we budgeted, it's probably going to be a yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, item 8E. Non-departmental account for the fire, $164,406 for 20, whatever them things are. 42 cylinders, two RIT packs, related equipment from Safe Industries of Easley.
So these are the SCBAs, they're the container they put on their backs so they can breathe when they go in the fire.
Oh, those are important.
That's but there's also equipment that comes along with that, and the last thing I'll note, I mentioned earlier, this is the same equipment that Oconee County purchased. So our fire department, our firefighters have the same equipment, and there's a lot of benefit to that when they're in the field.
Wouldn't we save a good bit of money by piggybacking with the county?
I think we are, because we didn't have to go out and do a bid process on our own, and because they bought so many, we probably got
bulk discount.
Yeah.
Like $3,500 per.
Yeah.
How much?
Roughly $3,500
wow.
per. I remember it being a pretty big chunk just by piggybacking with those guys.
And so as a reminder, you've already approved the financing. This would be approving the purchase of the equipment.
So then I'll make a motion to approve 8E of the authorization purchase.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yep.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
All right, item 9, consider authorization for city stage use outside the city limits for Hike for Hope event on September 24, 2022 at the Blue Ridge Electric Co-op.
Mayor and Council, we have a mobile stage and we have a mobile stage policy. And the policy says if anyone wants to use that stage outside the city limits, it has to be authorized by you. For those of you who are new, that's to disincentivize anybody wanting to use the stage. However, last year the council did authorize the use for the Hike for Hope event that Christy Hubbard hosts down at, and I'm giving her all the credit. She probably wouldn't do that for herself, but Christy Hubbard is the one who does the lion's share of the work for that Hike for Hope event down at Blue Ridge Electric. I have it here for you to consider, although we do have a possible conflict where it may stay in the city limits. I'm not completely certain that BJ Callahan hasn't already reserved it for that same date.
For Music on Main.
For Music on Main. So I'm trying to resolve that issue, but because the event would take place, I need to know if you're willing for it to go there, if we resolve the issues and we're not going to use it for Music on Main, if you're comfortable with it going again for the Hike for Hope event. Then I would like for you to approve it. It may end up staying. This is kind of a making sure we cover our bases.
Okay. We need a motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Two motions. Do we need 2 seconds?
Second.
Any further discussion? Any more questions? Call for a vote.
Aldrin?
Sure.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
All right, next, approval on the routine business, approval of June 16, 2022 regular meeting minutes. Everybody has a copy of those in their packet. I hope you've had opportunity to read through them.
Yep.
We need a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? Call for a vote, please.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Yusuf?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes.
Aldrin?
Yes.
Next, on the routine business, comments from the utility director. Mr. Baker, you have the floor.
Thank you. All right, so I was going to go through my normal cadence, and I got a few things at the end that we talked about a little bit earlier. So electric, we'll continue the 412 cutover. I'm happy to report the town itself is now cut over 12 kV. So we're now on the other side of the tracks by Dixon Tractor, but now I can actually use some circuits. If something was to happen, I can switch around a little bit and pick up as many customers as sub allow me to pick up with the wire size we have. So we're still gaining on it. And this week we've changed out three transformers, getting ready to go, and then we'll start cutting over little by little. We're continuing maintenance as we go. A lot of new business, it seems like. When I say new business, I mean people want their service from overhead to underground. As they're remodeling these little house and stuff, they're getting rid of the overhead services. A lot of it is their meters are old and replaced, so it's pretty inexpensive really here to do that. Even though it's more expensive than it was a year ago, it's still pretty cheap. When I hear I get the price, they're pretty excited about it, so no complaints about that. One thing I was going to tell you, I did a little digging last year. We started tracking the stuff for the auditor on capital work. So just a little tidbit, the electric crew, they put over 120 poles in the ground since last March of 2020. March 21, excuse me, 22. So yeah, so that's a lot of poles in the ground compared to what we used to do in the past. Hence being the line truck, she's pretty tired. she was hurting the day trying to set a pole. We had to help her a little bit, and we got the pole in the ground. And we're still considering to set poles. I'd be happy if it has 100 in the ground. We're just playing catch up from the past here, so. But we're starting to gain on some of that stuff. Sewer and water, still fighting leaks. It's a constant battle on water. We're still smoking the sewer, identifying the highest priority issues to go after with some of this money we're going to get. We have some of our issues now that we know of, but we can find a bigger hitter, and we want to get the biggest bang for our money, right? So we're still doing that. I think Thursday we're doing some more smoking in places. So as we smoke that, we smoke it. When it comes out of the ground, we can see it smoking. We know it's leaking. That's how you detect it. It's the easiest way to do it. You plug it, fill up the liquid smoke, and you can see it come out. Generally, it's a storm drains, which should happen, but it does. So you have something tied somewhere. A big issue right now in sewers, so please spread the word, help me out here. Baby wipes, Lysol wipes, whatever you want to call them. We've had numerous backups in our sewer system. We break away from our work and go over there, and we find 20 or 30 baby wipes in the sewer system. They're biodegradable in 10 years, not in 10 minutes. So we're having some serious problems with those in our system. So and paper towels, stuff like that. Things that shouldn't be flushed has caused a lot of havoc now, especially in the lower flow areas where you're three or four vaults down. Manholes, whatever you call them. It doesn't have down the main track it's flowing, but it's not working there. So we're getting some calls. We're trying to educate the customers, but anyone you talk to, do not flush those. Just because it says biodegradable, I'm guaranteeing it, it's not.
Or flush.
Or flush.
Kevin, can you send something out to everybody and let them know that?
Yeah.
A lot of people do not realize
that. You're right about that.
It says flushable right on it.
It sure does.
I can flush your cat down the toilet, but it doesn't mean it's going to work. It's not designed for that, right? And so we're having all kinds of problems. You wouldn't believe we find the sewer system. We found bed sheets, pillow cases.
Oh, my God.
If it goes down that toilet, that's a problem.
Squirrels.
Like people take squirrels and throw them down their clean outs. The clean out in front of your house, it's a 4-inch by hole. It's just people that don't know. It's, well, there's a good place for it. And then it plugs things. Right? So, yeah, you're talking, we find all kinds of things. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think you just made the paper.
Squirrels.
Fat oils and grease is another one. People dump their, you're not supposed to put that stuff down here. I know the businesses are big on it, they know that, but customers sometimes don't, and that causes issues as well. But it seems like the most of it's, well, there's been probably a couple places of that, but those towels and everything else has been a problem. But it just causes extra work, you break away, because sometimes the sewer backup, we don't want the sewer going in their house. You know, and sometimes it's even on their side. So what do? Hey, you're a plumber. And then you look down and you check the vault and you see three or four of them in the vault, and you're thinking, well, I probably know what your problem is, so don't do that, right? So anyway, just a good reminder. I'm sure every town, I know I've talked to all of them, everyone's providing the same thing.
So we can get a letter sent out to the public for that. Baby wipes, sanitary wipes, cats and squirrels.
Don't forget bed sheets.
They're bed sheets. Add it in there.
Public Works, Solid Waste, working on a new numbering system for our garbage cans. I guess one time before my time, we had numberings for our garbage cans.
We did.
Yeah, well, some predecessors before me dissolved that, for lack of better terms. So what happens is we put garbage cans out. We had some problems recently. I worked with Matt's team on this. They're disappearing. And they have numbers on them, but they're painted numbers. They're kind of, they're not branded or stamped. So we're going to work on some way to get like a CW and melt it in the can. One thing they'll identify, at least the police know it's our can, because they can rub those numbers off or buff them off, and you can't tell if it's ours or somebody else's.
Right.
And so we're going to, every time we put a can out, we're doing it now, we have a system to do it. If I deliver a can the day I deliver one to somebody, I take a number, I say, hey, this address has this can. The problem is, it's not going to look up.
It's not searchable.
It's not searchable like a regular Excel spreadsheet. We can F whatever and find it, F1, find what the number is. Unless, so you don't know where it went. So we have all this records. Unless we know whose it was, there's no way we can track it. So we lose several cans, and we find some. I like to find out where they're coming from so we can identify them. Because I know in our ordinance it says if you start losing cans, you're going to be paying for them, replace them.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean your neighbor didn't take it because he got booted out of his place. He's got three over there, and maybe it's just right there, you know. So I want to see some paper stuff you shouldn't have to. Plus, I want the city paying for extra trash cans we don't need to. So we're going to start that process. And Jennifer Adams has got all kinds of tracking mechanisms down there. We loaded her up, so it's one more on our list to get categorized. Let's see. Water plant. Been a stickler lately. So we've been on fire with the water lately, for lack of better terms. Not enough water to put it out. We've had the Apple Tower, a clear well tape we've talked about in the past. There's a valve in there we found. We didn't know it was there. It's up underneath. You can't see it in the clear well. Well, when you fill that tank, it's automatic. Well, the butterfly valve has failed on the outside, so we're using a manual valve to shut it off to control the flows. So we're working through that process, trying to get the butterfly on emergency, get that thing fixed. We can use skater to shut it off so it don't overflow wastewater. Well, the water won't. We cut it out of there and put a straight pipe in to get rid of it. It didn't work because there was a toilet flow valve, for lack of better terms, from a ball cock, from God knows when in there. So we had to reach in there with a stick, came over there and popped it open, and we'll also get all kinds of water coming in. So we had to cut the valve down. So Terry's probably been over how many times, quarter turn less, trying to get that flow right, because we can't control it with our stuff. Meanwhile, we've had two problems with the water plant. The main valve, the filter bays, your drinking water comes through the filter plant on, was stuck, couldn't get it open, so we had one bay watering. So we got that fixed with a manual valve for now. And that should be completed this week. So we're back to normal on that. I think that's really, and there's some other ones, but those are the big ones, the main hitters. And then back on the water, Terry's been, and both these guys, all the supervisors that work for the town and report to me, you probably have no idea how many hours these guys put in, and ladies for Diana Denny up there. I mean, she's been at 4 o'clock in the morning probably 4 out of 5 days the last couple weeks because the water change that pumps out. He's out running the backhoe. We lost an employee who quit the other day. He's out on Saturday and Sunday running backhoe, fixing water leaks on stuff. So, I mean, and he's helping me sometimes or helping something else or doing it. So it never ends, right? We share resources, we share people. So
awesome.
Hats off to these guys for giving a lot of their
awesome.
their time up to help get this thing and going. And we'll talk about why we're so busy here pretty quick. So a lot of the repairs, we had a lot of problems, but we've got all the repairs in process and working. So for updates, we've got projects we talked about here since I've been here, before I got here, probably 10 years before I got here. So update. So on the water pumps, your drinking water comes from Charleston Road as it comes down. We have 2 bar water pumps, 500 horsepower. We had 2 500 horsepower pumps. So we started last week in the process of changing those out. Harper got the bid, the contract. If you've never seen that, and anyone in council wants to see it, you should really go see that. It's kind of a neat setup. There was some concern about the way that was set up, so we went down there with the line crews for water guys. We took that first pump motor off for them to prove how it worked and show them how it worked. Did that ourselves one day, got that done. They replaced the one motor, pump, everything's done, which would be called, even though it's on the left-hand side, it's called pump two. Pump two's been working since last Thursday, on and off.
Yep.
There's a couple glitches there, but we got it going finally about, 1 o'clock, something like that, 2 o'clock. About the time I shot over Sandy Cooper. That one's been running the whole time. It's working good. It is so quiet, no shade. You can't hear it run from the top. pretty nice. Because before you couldn't talk in this room if you're next to it. So meanwhile, that one was beating there. The backup, there's two pumps there. The other pump, the first night when we had that one out of there working on it, we turned our other pump on to fill our pond back up. For lack of better terms, the pond keeps water there to pull from the filtration bays to make water. It's a backup system. In case we lose a pump, we've got a couple extra days of water for the city. Well, that pump, when he was on his last leg, burned up. So then we had no pumps for a couple days. We had our backup water. We made notification of HALA. I said a few things to a couple people. We got a few things. I was a little upset, to put it mildly. So we got things moving again. Terry was pushing. We were all pushing. And we offered everything we could do. Probably offered more than they really wanted. So we got that new pump going, and that we were fine for that. We were ready to use Walla water, but they were more than happy to help us. If you don't know, we did help Walla a couple weeks ago. We backfed their system. They had a major break up there. So that's that. That's done. And so today, they got so efficient the first time. This is a real weird mechanism. You have to use chains and trolleys and cables. It's out over a cliff on a rock over the river. So these are 3,700-pound units we're cranking on these hoists. So the new pump's already in the day after report, and the top of it's in there for the shaft. And so tomorrow morning, they plan on running the motor in, setting it on top, and by noon tomorrow, hopefully this number one's working. So by tomorrow afternoon, we should have both our pumps back, and they'll both be new, which will be a blessing because it's been a rough run on those. We spent a ton of time and money repacking those, and we're gonna gain some efficiencies too. And that's the next thing I'll go into. The efficiencies gained on those will have VFDs we talked about here for quite some time. The building is basically complete. This week, I think on Thursday, if you can get the right machine to get up that hill to set those, we'll come to my yard, get the VFDs and the big transformer goes there. We'll set those. And I'm hoping sometime in September, we'll have those in service. And we'll be running that whole thing from up top and not down in that mezzanine. And we'll have our VFDs in service. I'm expecting to save some money on those, running those VFDs. Hopefully substantial amount of money. That'll put all of our system, our major pumping system, on VFDs. So that's a good thing. So that's in progress. Next one is Hall Road water line update. We have a meeting tomorrow with Buzz out there. He's the guy that got the contract to do the water line on Hall Road, which couldn't happen soon enough. I know Terry knows about every 3 feet of dirt out there. He's only been here a short time from all the breaks we've had. So they'll meet us out tomorrow. We'll do a walk down. We'll talk about logistics out there, school, baseball, and kind of get a feel for that. And he crosses the road because there's certain ways. I'll make sure to contact with the school. And then Terry will ramrod that out there with the water, and we'll get that going. I'm expecting to start probably next week sometime. They've already got the locates, and they already called them in, so they're getting ramped up and ready to go. Once they start, it should go pretty fast. Our hopes is to do part of that, bring it around, energize the water line, test it, start cutting over services, and that's just another thing. If they can get 100 feet cut over, that's 100 feet less we got to break and worry about, so we'll work through that. C-Fund on sidewalks. We've had some concrete issues. Anyone's doing construction right now, you have concrete issues. We're trying to get a load every other week, then a load every 2 weeks. So we had a meeting with them a while back, a few weeks ago now, I guess. And we've confirmed they're supposed to be at end of August. They're running through some COVID problems like we did the last couple weeks. They said it's hoping the 22nd of August. We did confer to them, and we made it very clear we're not tearing the streets up during Apple Festival. Don't do that to us.
Okay.
And so there's plenty of work outside of that right now. We're going to go after it, starting out last week, and then as soon as that passes through, they'll come. If they take something up in the Apple Festival area, they'll put it back down in concrete and let it set when they start the event. That was their talking with us. They agreed to do that because we didn't want any hazards for anybody. let's see, what else do I got? Practice ball field. So if you're not aware, another little thing going on right now is out there by the old Owen Field behind the middle school. There was a small area there. It's turned into quite a large area. It's probably, I don't know, a third bigger than it started. So we got all the poles set, all the lights up, secondaries up. I'm working with the contractor now. It looks like end of next week we'll come in, we'll lay out all the sprinkler system in there. And once we do that, The one dig policy we're going to put into play out there, because we are dealing with Duke power lines above us, their transmission lines, and I have to map all that. So once we get all that ready to go, we start trenching that, start laying all the pipe, and by September sometime, it should be irrigated and seeded. And so we'll have a little bit of warmth, but not too hot. Right now it's too hot dealing with it anyway, really. And then by this fall, by October, so we should have grass out there and lights up there. There's some other work we got to do, a little ditch work on that backside with the culvert. But hopefully by next year, Herb's going to have all kinds of room for rig. That's the goal with that field. And we'll have lights out there. We're going to test those. I got a bunch of them, but that's a big field.
That's awesome.
And we'll find out. I got 48 lights up there right now. Big floodlights. So let's see. I think that's all I have. Unless you have any questions.
Good work.
Oh, I forgot something.
Good job. Any questions for Lee? All right, move on. Comments, and you can wake up now. Comments from city administrator.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me for reclining. I was enjoying Lee's storytelling.
Yeah.
And I will note that you know, Lee and I were talking recently. We have more projects going on right now almost than we can keep up with. But it's energizing to us and to your staff to have these projects and to have your support as we work through these. And I think you all know, you know, when we had that utility break, when the construction contractor broke the utility pole and our guys were out there, most of the pressure that they felt was for the citizens. I mean, it was, you know, I've worked with a lot of electric linemen through the years. I've never had a group say, I'm working as hard as I can work because I don't want anybody to be hot any longer than they have to. And that was their perspective when they were out there. And, you know, the Chiefs were out there. It was a monumental effort. It was a monumental mistake. You know, another poll one way or another, it would have been a whole lot easier. But, you know, I think that we're getting close to turning the corner on a lot of these issues. When it comes to our electric power distribution, when it comes to improving our water system, when it comes to improving our sewer system, so that we can, as we noted earlier, start to get our cost under control, because we aren't, like Hall Street is a prime example, the amount of money we spend patching that line over and over and over, it takes the staff away from other projects they could do proactively, and we've spent a lot of money probably in the last 5 years, you could have replaced that one. So I want you to know that that's kind of how I'm viewing what we're doing right now. What you did not see on your agenda tonight, I have listed as 3A. You did not see second reading of an ordinance to accept the payment from Pioneer Water. You did first reading, and then as we were trading documents back and forth, we needed to refine some things. So my hope is that we'll have that for second reading. In September, you all came and thank you for participating in the public hearing. So item 3B is the community development block grant that we have the ability to pay for improvements to Anderson Park. That grant's $250,000, has a 10% or 20% match that goes with it. I think we're going to see a really good outcome with that if we're able to get the grant. Right now, the Appalachian Council of Governments, we're working through them, which is why their staff came and conducted the public hearing. They'll gather a lot of public input. Jeffrey mentioned when he was here, and I was bragging to anybody that, listen, they've already had 150 responses from the survey. Well, I know from all my time municipal governments, you rarely get 10 responses to surveys like that. So I really appreciate all the people who went in and respond. I think we're going to get good data that we can act on later. And that we have to submit a pre-application, which is due next week, and then we'll submit a full application if they invite us. So they'll look at the pre-app and decide whether or not they want to see a full application. So I'll keep you posted. The other is the SCIP grant through the Rural Infrastructure Authority. We're putting that grant together, as I mentioned, as we speak. You passed a number of things tonight that will make us a lot more competitive. I think I put in one of these write-ups. The maximum amount that we can go for We have enough funds to match up to almost $5.6 million in improvements. I think we're probably going to come in somewhat under that, but that still gets a lot of really good work done.
Can you say that number one more time? I know it's in here, but can you say
$5.6 million. And so if we have $850,000, we can match $5.6. And that would be using $350,000 we have in our capital projects fund, and then writing a grant to the Rural Infrastructure Authority for the other $500,000. They've got ways they can layer their money. And so we're layering everything we can layer. And then the last thing I'll note, Kevin Harbin is going to have a contractor pressure washing the depot. Which day is that going to be?
This coming Monday, the 15th.
Okay.
Tentatively.
Yeah. So I really appreciate, since Kevin's been on staff, he and I have spent some time together, and we're doing preventive maintenance on the depot this year. You allocated about $10,000, and so we'll do the pressure washing. We've had some AC issues out there that have we resolved all those at this point?
Right now.
Until today, yeah. But the other money we'll put into making sure that the floors have been cleaned and repainting some of the walls in the big room. And that'll probably use up that money. Seeing how much that space is used, we want to make sure that we're taking good care of it. And that is all I have.
Good job.
That's it.
For today.
Hallelujah.
Well, actually, until you go into executive session.
Yes. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming. We appreciate y'all showing up, showing interest. We really do. And at this time, we need a motion to go into executive session.
Go ahead.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? No. We'll take a 10-minute recess.
10?
Huh?
Tomorrow, I'm going to invite everybody out.
Hey, y'all. Hold on.